You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! So... here's the thing that I'm struggling with so far today, Al. Is it make me a bad Dodger fan that I couldn't get enough of Fernando Tatis' home run out of Dodger Stadium last night? Does it make me a bad Dodger fan that I've rewatched him hit that ball, I don't know, 25, 30 times this morning because I just saw somebody hit the ball out of Dodger Stadium? It's pretty remarkable.
It does not make you a bad Dodger fan. I'll tell you why. Dodgers just got their 103rd win last night. They've beat the Padres 9 games in a row. That 19 World Series games that Justin Turner was talking about, that didn't happen.
It's like four.
I think they ended up going 12-7, but they won 9 in a row against the Padres.
Murdered.
They have a 25-game lead on the San Diego Padres. Think about that for a second. I mean, you know, these were supposed to be, if Tatis hits that home run and it's a division race between the Dodgers and the Padres, then yes, you're a bad Dodger fan. Well, but it's a 25-game lead, and you won 9 in a row.
And they were still ahead, and they won the game anyway.
That was damn impressive what he did. And I'm sure Dodger fans were sitting there like, what the hell? Where'd that ball go?
Well, look at the look on Max Muncy's face. Max Muncy almost wanted to break into laughter. You know, that it's almost you wanted to shake Tatis's hand as he's coming around first base.
This isn't real. This isn't real.
If I said to you, hey, Al, you know, back in 2021.
Why are you talking like that?
That's the voice I would use if I talked to you.
Okay.
Hey, Al, back in 2021, I was there the night that Fernando Tatis hit one out of the stadium, bro.
I thought that was
– what?
You know where you used that voice again? You used it when UCLA Fresno State.
Yeah,
that's
same
what
guy.
It was. It was the frat guy. Yeah,
same guy.
He went to the game.
Yep. But if you heard somebody say, oh, I was there the night that he hit the ball out of the stadium, you'd be like, shut up. Nobody hits the ball out of the stadium. Only he did. He hit the ball,
out of the stadium. Yeah.
Okay?
It rolled into P4 parking lot. Just kind of rolled there.
Well, that's what's so crazy, right? That before they did the renovations and made the area behind the outfield pavilions like a place where to go grab a drink, something to eat, hang out, like which is really cool, by the way. But it would have landed in the parking lot.
Yeah.
This isn't something that happens at Dodger. You hit it into the bay in San Francisco. Yeah. You hit it over the Green Monster in Boston, and it lands in that parking lot back there. Okay, that wall in Boston, it's like 312 feet away. That roof at Dodger Stadium's 400-plus feet away.
There's a baseball right now sitting on the 110 freeway that nobody has any idea what it is and how it got there. It's Tatis' home run, just sitting on the 110.
Just extraordinary. I'm deeply conflicted on another Dodger topic. I don't know how to feel about these final three games. Intellectually, I've moved on.
This confuses me.
I've moved on. And because about 2 weeks ago, when Walker Buehler got roughed up in Colorado, I was kind of like, okay, guys, I still think you're the best team. I think that you're the favorites to go and win the World Series, but you're going to have to take the hard road. You're going to have to take the road through the wild card game. You're going to have to go on the road in the first round, et cetera, et cetera. That's how your path to the World Series goes that way. And my intellect tells me that that's more true than ever. They're two back with three games to play. And the Giants are playing the San Diego Padres team, who you just described as giving up. There's something in the back of my head, Al, that's just saying, not quite yet. Let's just see what happens. Because let's say they shave one tonight. Let's say Dodgers beat Milwaukee.
I thought it was going to happen, yes. I thought it was symbolic. For this weekend, you go into these final three games, and it's a game separating them.
It still didn't happen. It didn't, and there's no. But it keeps coming back to what we were talking about, and that is if the Dodgers beat the Cardinals on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I believe they are in as good of a position as you could ask for to win the World Series.
If the Dodgers beat the Cardinals on Wednesday.
Yep. If they beat the Cardinals on Wednesday, I think that they are the favorites to win the World Series. Only I don't have a great deal of confidence. I think they'll win, but that's about as far as I'll go on that. And yet there's a bunch of stuff that makes you feel really good about them. There's a bunch of things. You look at the way Corey Seager and Mookie Betts are swinging the bat. You look at the way the Justin Turner is hot. Trey Turner stayed hot. You've got all this starting pitching. Kenley Jansen is throwing the baseball as well as he's thrown it in years, really. Mm-hmm. He looks fantastic. Their star players are performing like stars, and yet there's all this other stuff too. Half the roster is ice cold. Their offense is ice cold. Their four starting pitchers who are lights out, all four of them have a little bit of a wobble at the worst possible time. And I'm inside out. I don't even know how to feel about this group right now.
So, by the way, I think every Dodger fan feels the same way. And, you know, vulnerable, you can't say, oh, well, the Dodgers blew it this year.
No.
You can't say they're vulnerable either because they have 103 wins. But I think they raised some question marks. You know, they have the best record in Major League Baseball since August 1st.
40-13.
Okay. They gained one game from August 1st to September 30th or whatever yesterday.
San Francisco went 40-15.
Okay. They gained one game in that span. And the only reason why I even kind of point that out is because this isn't about the Dodgers playing bad baseball. It's not about the Dodgers, oh, they blew their opportunity, or oh my gosh, they put themselves in this position to have to be in this wild card game. It's a combination of San Francisco has been beyond exceptional. This, look, you're going to be more of the baseball nerd when it comes to this. This is arguably one of the biggest surprises in regular season history.
No question.
That a team like the San Francisco Giants, who were supposed to be in the category with who? The Rockies?
No, worse, Al. Honestly, I believe, I'm going by memory here, so I might be off, but their win projection was almost identical to Arizona's. Arizona has lost 106 games, I think. Okay, and is about where they're a little bit worse than they thought Arizona would be. And San Francisco is light years better than anybody thought they'd be.
It's supposed to be the Padres and the Dodgers this year going up against each other. The Padres are 27 games behind the San Francisco Giants. 27 games behind the San Francisco Giants. So it's, when I say it's kind of weird about the season, it's not that the Dodgers have done anything wrong. Trav, they've gone through a lot this season, whether it's the injuries that they've had, whether it's
Trevor Bauer.
Certain players that have been out, the Trevor Bauer situation, and you just kind of – you're bringing in new guys. I know it sounds stupid for me to say, well, you brought in Max Scherzer, Trey Turner. They got to figure everything out. They had Gavin Lux in center field for how many games? Like, they've literally tried to juggle every single ball.
Did you see the tape outline they put on the center field wall?
Yeah, good is that?
You knew it was coming.
How good is that?
I would have been stunned had it not been out there, but it was still pretty funny to see.
It was okay to come because Lux is okay. He thinks, you know, nothing is as far as his injuries.
I think.
He said that he'll be – just kind of needs a little bit of time.
Yeah, I would think so.
So to put everything kind of in context here, Dave Roberts said this yesterday. He said, we have to play good baseball. If we do that, bring it on. It doesn't matter who we play or in what format. The format's awful. The format is BS, and everybody agrees with it. And San Francisco's played unbelievable baseball. The Dodgers just got to get through that wild card, and I think you feel a lot more confident than you're sitting today, and we'll see what happens.
Travis Lee's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Very simply, answer this question. Mm-hmm. If the Dodgers lose in the wild card on Wednesday afternoon, the season was what?
Incredibly disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredibly disappointing. But does it feel like they failed?
No.
It doesn't. That's what I mean. That's incredibly disappointing because they're really good and they played really well and this stupid format.
That's part of the disappointment.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. This does not feel like a, you know what? This team's making $200 million and they performed like a team that's making 200. This is Justin Turner was bad, and Corey Seager was bad, and Scherzer was a bum when they picked him up, and Trey Turner can't get a hit, and Corey Seager, good riddance because
he hit two. What's this front office doing? What's going to happen next year? What's the future for the Dodgers? No, if they lost against the St. Louis Cardinals on Wednesday, you'd probably say, okay, couple tweaks here. I know we got some free agents. The team is so loaded as they move forward as well. This could just be one of those years where it was some bad luck and some unfortunate circumstances and a team like San Francisco that did what they did.
I don't know if I've ever felt like this before with a team that is this talented, this expensive, and this good, where if they didn't win the title, Al, my immediate response, and you're right because there's a lot of moving parts and free agents and all this stuff, would be the team will look different next year even if they win the World Series. It always does. But if they lost them, my immediate response would be run it back. Mm-hmm. When does spring training start? Run it back again, because the scenario that just took place will never happen again. The most likely result of this season is the Dodgers win 104, 105 games. Remember at the beginning of the season, we were talking, hey, could they win 115?
Yeah.
And it seemed possible, but they'd have to get, well, they had that really bad 5-15 stretch. It's like, okay, well, that's out the window. But they're still going to get to 104, 5, somewhere in there.
They're 103 right now.
Right.
Giants are at 105.
Right. But if you ran it back, the Giants are winning 84. They're not winning 106 or whatever the final number is going to be. Run it back. As disappointing as it would be, it's not a, oh, they failed. It was the 1-in-100 season came up for the other guy. That's what it would feel like.
What's unique in this situation as you round out the rest of the year, September threw things off a little bit. Trav, there was a point where Walker Buehler, every time he got the ball, you're like, okay, that game is over.
Yep.
There was a point, Max Scherzer, his last two starts. Listen, he's going to get 6 days rest before he pitches on Wednesday, and I think that's going to be beneficial to him. But even Scherzer, for a quick second here, the guy had a .78 ERA in 9 starts with the Dodgers. Now he's had 2 games where he gave up 5 runs. There's some question marks that hadn't been there before. That's why we even bring this up as a topic, because they could be in a predicament on Wednesday where the season could end. It could be tonight, and I know it's going to sound crazy. Tonight could be the last game Kershaw pitches for the Dodgers. I don't think it's going to happen, just saying it could happen. Be. That's
Giants could also clinch the division tonight. It could be over by tonight. If the Dodgers lose and the Giants win,
it's
over.
It.
Yeah, they'd be 3 up with 2 to go.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
It could be over as soon as tonight.
I'm just assuming both teams just keep winning, and that's the only way the division ends is because people won, not that people lost.
It's nuts. Let's try a phone call here. Huntington Beach and Paul. Paul, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Hey, always good to talk to you guys. The thing is, it's so frustrating. They're north of 100 wins, and they're grinding through, like pushing so hard. At this point in the season, you got 103, 104 wins. You're resting guys getting ready for the playoffs.
Because you earned
it. That's kind of the crazy thing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But here they are, and I think the Dodgers got to push hard all the way through the weekend, which kind of sucks. Because, listen, the Dodgers have a long history of having their heart broken by the freaking Cardinals in playoff baseball. I want no part of the freaking Cardinals. And you know who I really don't want any part of is freaking Adam Wainwright. Wainwright's in that like category of like Mike Scott and Tom Browning, who just freaking own the Dodgers. It's exhausting. And it's a shame for a team that's going to end up with 104, 105 wins, as you guys are talking about. Because of that, man, I think they got to push hard this weekend until they can't push no more, and then you go from there. By the way, give me a one-game 163 in San Francisco all day before having to face Wainwright in the wild card.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. It's interesting.
Great call, by the way.
I like what he said. The Dodgers have to continue to grind and push, and they should be resting. You're right, but so do the Giants. It's not like the Giants have had – they have to grind.
But they're going to rest. They're going to have that opportunity.
They're going to get a few extra days
Dodgers
don't have.
They'll get a few extra days, and oh, by the way – may potentially not have to face the Dodgers.
They might not. But it's not that, oh, the Giants have it locked down and they've been on cruise control for 10 days. It's not that.
Completely right. But just think of this, and I think he makes a good point on this. When's the first game? Friday? That would be up in San Francisco. If San Francisco wins a division, right? Wednesday will be the wild card, so I think it's going to be – they'll get 4 or 5 days of just kick back and relax.
Yeah. Set it up.
And through all this – who's the team that the Dodgers are playing tonight?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's been kicking back for a little bit now.
Yeah.
Right? Like they have the luxury of doing that. Atlanta and St. Louis. Yeah. I know St. Louis was winning games, but St. Louis clinched that wild card berth a couple days ago, so they're kind of setting everything up.
It was a de facto clinch about a week or so ago. You knew it was coming. I will say this. He brings up a good point. You ready, Dodger fans? You ready to feel terrible? Okay? I hate to do this to you. Tom Niedenfuhr. Jack Clark, Ozzie Smith, Matt Stairs. Okay, these are all names of Cardinals that did just awful, awful things to the Dodgers in the postseason. Of course, Tom Niedenfuhr was the guy that gave up the home run to Jack Clark. That's mostly Tommy Lasorda's fault for pitching to him. But it happened in 1985. I was in eighth grade in geometry, top floor, Foothills Junior High School, left hallway. Don't remember it at all. Listening to the game on the radio in math. My geometry teacher was a huge Dodger fan. He had the game on. This is when they had playoff games during the day, by the way.
Yeah.
And like Tommy Lasorda is going to pitch to Jack Clark. And there it goes. Home run into the left field. It's like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? Fast forward, Ozzie Smith had zero home runs from the left-handed side. None. Not a handful, not three or four. Zero. Takes Tom Niedenfuhr deep to beat the Dodgers. Okay? That happened. We know what happened to Clayton Kershaw against the Cardinals a few years ago. What, Paul, never call this show again. I had forgotten about all these things, and you just brought them all up, and now I'm in a bad mood.
Do you want to – you know how both you and I answered the question of – basically answered the question of if you lost on Wednesday to the St. Louis Cardinals, how would you feel about the season? How would you feel about the season? Is there are most Dodger fans all just going to feel the exact same way? It was incredibly disappointing, or are they going to say this is just literally bad luck the way things shook out for us and we had to play this one game?
Yeah, 877-710-ESPN. You can give us a call and let you know how would you feel if this ends. Plus, you mentioned all those free agents, Al. You mentioned Clayton Kershaw might be pitching his last game as a Dodger. Certainly a possibility. We'll get to that. Plus,
Scherzer, Kenley, Seager.
There's a bunch of guys that are very important guys that are on that list as well. And I'm going to explain to you why Matt Stafford is going to take yet another step forward in the MVP race. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
If I would have asked you this morning when we got started around 7:30, if I was in a good mood, what would you have said?
I'd have said I need a little more time to figure that out.
Let's move it up. Let's say by 10. By the time we started the show, was I in a good mood?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I thought you were.
An hour ago, was I in a good mood?
Yeah, I thought you were.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I'm not anymore. Because Paul in Huntington Beach just ruined my weekend.
I don't think he ruined your weekend. I think he
did.
I think there's something about, you know, I know, what were you saying this from a baseball perspective? When we were trying to make the argument of momentum, right? That St. Louis can ride a lot of momentum going into the postseason just because of what an unbelievable month they've had or whatever the case is, 2 months that they've had. And you said, no, can't really ride that momentum in. And then you start looking at
the history.
Yeah,
it's awful.
All these things come into play, Trav.
I guess
Dodgers are going to be riding an incredible amount of momentum going in.
No, they're playing great baseball.
But there's also question marks about the Dodgers today. We didn't have 2-3 weeks ago. That I think is a little bit more concerning.
Clayton Kershaw out there with what was it, a 5-0 lead in the seventh inning, and then it's 5-1, it's 5-3, it's 5-4, it's 6-5, it's 7-5, and Don Mattingly's
like, no,
he's fine.
It's great.
He's fine. Like, go get him. I understand it's Clayton Kershaw.
Jace Tingler was watching that game very closely.
It's like, he's done. Please save him. Go get him out of there. I can't watch this anymore.
Tingler gave up 9 home runs and was like, he's fine.
But I saw something on that last pitch. It looked like it had pretty good life. It looked like it had some life as it approached the plate. Let's go to Dennis in Southgate. Dennis, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on, Dennis?
Hi. Well, actually, I want to piggyback off the last caller you got. It's actually even a little bit worse for the Dodgers because you got to remember, the Cardinals, they wrapped up the second wild card spot on Wednesday.
Yeah, a couple days ago.
They're getting more time to rest, whereas the Dodgers, they have to push all their chips in this weekend against the Brewers. So you're going to have either the Giants or Dodgers, most likely the Dodgers, being completely exhausted, pushing everything in. And the Cardinals, they're resting, waiting for one of the two opponents, most likely the Dodgers. So it's even more... It's even more asking for the Dodgers. There'll be even more tax. And you got the Cardinals ready to go, all rested because they got an extra weekend's worth of rest after clinching the second wild card.
Dennis, appreciate you calling in, man. If anybody else wants to change Travis's mood and kind of get his weekend started on a sour note, 877-710-ESPN.
Yeah.
You got two in a row. The look on your face.
Trav, remember that time that the Dodgers blew it to the Cardinals in the postseason? How you feeling? Happy Friday. Come on, man.
Listen.
Help me out.
I don't think these are genuinely, these are not Dodger fans. Nobody's hating on the Dodgers. They have genuine concern.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, I say that only because I think Dodger fans feel a certain way. You know, he's talking about playing through the weekend. I think that's interesting because when you were trying to make a case a week ago plus, whatever the case is, hey, just start prepping for the wild card. Yeah. Pay attention to the wild card. The Dodgers have showed zero indication that they, at least over the last week, that they're not playing for the wild card. Everything they're doing, they're playing for the wild card. And you even said something. You're like, well, the Giants have to play this through as well.
They do.
Both teams know how key and important it is not to go up on Wednesday, that you are going to have a little bit of something there where a team like the Cardinals can kind of start preparing here. By the way, everybody wants to make you not feel
ruin
good.
My weekend. Yeah, that's nice to know. That's fun. But you bring up a really good point that while I'm not a huge believer in momentum in baseball,
sure,
I am a big believer in who's looser and who's got more to lose. Right? Whether it's the Dodgers or the Giants, they've got a lot to – they have 100 and – minimum, what did you say? The Giants have already won 105?
They're at 105 the moment.
Minimum, somebody with at least
105 wins.
105 or 103 wins is – if the Dodgers lose them all, they still have 103. Okay, they're coming in with, hey, you just won 103 games and your season could be over in 3 hours. The Giants come into this game looking, hey, we weren't even supposed to be in the playoffs 5 minutes ago.
That's not the comp.
We're ready to go. Right, it's house money completely.
But that's not the comp. You know what's real house money? Wednesday's house money. I mean, if you say it comes to who's going to be more loose, Trav, so just pay attention to that real quick. What squad's going to be more loose if you're in that game on Wednesday? Dodgers and the Cardinals, who's more loose?
The Cardinals.
Of course they are, right? Sure. Like, it's not even – it's a no-brainer.
It's an easy one.
But when you say there's something about baseball that plays into effect, I agree with you. You know, a batter that's at the plate saying, this is house money.
This is how it's supposed to go.
Right? Yes. And I think when you give that as an example, that obviously doesn't play into yours. Listen, we could throw out plenty of different questions out there. But I love that when anybody want to make Travis's weekend, kind of the start of his weekend, worse, why everybody is so interested in doing that, 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Eddie in Ontario. Eddie, anything for Travis you want to help
out
with?
Hey, guys. I'm trying to help out on his weekend. So the way I think we can look at it is we let Kershaw pitch today, see how he does. If they win, Dodgers win, Giants win, then, you know, we relax, go in there. We don't, you know, pressure too much Saturday, Sunday. And I think in baseball, if you have too many days off, it can get you off that momentum that you have, that consistency. So I think we should be good. Dodgers should be good.
Good. Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate the support.
I like the other ones where I could see your blood pressure going up.
He brings up a good point. When you talk about rest in baseball, you're not necessarily talking about days off. You're not talking about just sitting in the dugout for 3 hours and not playing. You're talking about batting practice. You're talking about intensity of at-bats. You're talking about grinding,
timing,
all of those things. But if you're saying you can decide that we're going to play for the wild card, and hey, Corey Seager, you're going to play the first four innings tonight. Okay, you're going to keep your time. You're going to get a couple of at-bats. Yep. But you know what? We're going to sit you down.
You mentioned that with Bueller.
Yeah.
Sunday could be a good example. He pitches three innings.
Pitches. Yeah. Throw 50 pitches. Just get out there, break a sweat, feel good. Go up against a Brewers team that you could very easily see in the second round of the playoffs. Just get out there and stretch your legs a little bit.
There, I think a scenario that will not play out when he says, hey, you go tonight, Kershaw wins and the Giants win, now you're two back with two games left to go. I still don't think the Dodgers will stop fighting for the division until they're mathematically out.
I don't either.
As in tomorrow, they're not going to treat tomorrow any different than they were treating the last week.
This is such a good point. This is where it gets even more. This is where what I was saying a week ago becomes even more vital. Let's say they both win tonight or they both lose tonight. Whatever it is, it's still two going into tomorrow. Are you mathematically in it?
Yes. Yes.
Is it likely? Very unlikely.
What if Dodgers win tomorrow?
Okay, hold on.
And Giants lose.
Okay, but let's just.
You're playing to Sunday.
Let's just go to tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. The deficit, whether they both lose or both win, the deficit's still two with two to go.
Yep.
Okay. You got Julio Urías, who's scheduled to pitch on Saturday.
Yep.
You're not going to catch him. Do you really want him to go out there and, to your point,
they're going
to
pitch him.
Throw 95 pitches, throw 100 pitches, start to go out there and burn through the fuel that's in the tank in a game that almost certainly is going to be meaningless? Do you really want, because that is, seems to me, like such a terrible idea.
Does this matter to you? that Scherzer will have 6 days off before he pitches again on Wednesday?
No.
It doesn't matter?
I mean, it matter in what way? It doesn't concern me. I don't think it helps.
No,
much.
No,
He's
no,
on
no.
Term, basically.
What I'm saying is he'll have a little bit more rest than usual.
He's got an extra day.
Okay. And though this, I'm just talking out of my, you know what, Julio will pitch tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't get the ball again, it looks like, until a week.
I understand.
Does that matter or no? And I'm genuinely asking the question because it's going to be a couple extra days off.
I understand the question now. I think it does matter because he has been extended to a point that he's never been extended before. Mm-hmm. Because he's thrown more pitches than he's ever thrown in his life, more innings than he's ever thrown in his life, and just the numerical, the numbers are telling you he's not throwing as hard as he was 2 months ago, 3 months ago. He was a 95, 96 guy. Now he's a 91, 92 guy. That's a noticeable difference. If I could go from 4 or 5 days that you're talking about to 7 or 8, I think that it doesn't refill the tank, but it might give you a little bit more.
Because that's kind of what they'd be in. That's a spot that they would be in based off of that.
There's even two down with two to play. When they're playing against a San Diego team that's let go of the rope, it's. I know that it's a mathematical possibility, but it is extremely unlikely that you get that done. Why would I spend money I don't have to spend in this game on a, I don't know what it is, a 1 in 50 chance? It just seems like a really bad idea in that moment.
They're going to do it.
Let's talk about the Rams. I can't do this anymore. This is I'm getting worked up about something that hasn't
even
happened
yet. Can I ask you one
more question? Go ahead.
Is it a lock that Julio would pitch before Kershaw?
In the postseason?
Let's say you win against St. Louis. San Francisco, game one is Bueller. Game two Julio, no question about it?
I think it depends on how Kershaw looks tonight. I think it depends if Julio pitches tomorrow. I think there's some variables that haven't played
That's
out yet.
That's all I had.
That one actually made my brain like think as opposed to just hurt and feel emotional. Like all of the callers have turned against me and say, hey, let's ruin the weekend for Trav. We're going to go to the Rams. We're going to go to Matt Stafford, and I'm going to feel good because I get to talk about my boy Goff. That's coming up next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Another one, I've been told, that will be a part
Kendrick
of the Super Bowl.
Kendrick Lamar, I don't know as much. The other ones are just, you know,
that's because
classics.
We're old.
So. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
I was going to say, this is one of the few that I know really well. Yeah. So.
What did you think of his concert, Trav?
Kendrick Lamar's?
Yeah, when you were there.
I thought the one that he had in the place was better than the other one he had in the other place.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that.
Yeah,
it's a great analysis.
Look, I agree, Trav.
I don't have a lot of meat on that bone for me.
I know you want to talk some Rams here. Yeah. You want to talk some Rams here.
Please.
Today's stat hero of the day is a Rams defense. Kyler Murray against the Rams and against all of the teams. So I'm going to throw this at you, okay?
Hit me.
Against the Rams, total QBR, 31.
Oof.
5.9 as far as his rushing yards per game, 11.5. I mean, he virtually does nothing. It's other teams' QBRs up to 64. Yards per attempt, 6.4. The difference between when he plays
Stark.
The Los Angeles Rams and when he plays, you know, obviously every other team out there, and now you got 2-3-0 teams going at it.
And the most important stat of all, they haven't beaten the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McVay is, however, this is Sean McVay, he's 8-0 against the Cardinals. And a lot of those games not only have been wins, they've pounded the Cardinals. They basically ended Carson Palmer's career in London a few years ago when they broke his arm, and that was kind of the end of the line right there. This has been a mismatch. That doesn't mean it's going to be a mismatch on Sunday, but all of the – here's the other – and you've been saying this a lot, and I'm not going to do my golf thing yet, but you've been saying this a lot. The Rams are not just, oh, they're hot, and they beat the Patriots or the Bucks, and oh, look at this, and they kicked a long field goal to beat Indy. The Rams have looked really good through the first three games of the season. Okay, you win on the road in the NFL, that's a good win. They looked really good in the opener against the Bears, and they looked excellent against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Arizona, on the other hand, has looked good once. They looked good against Tennessee in the opener in Tennessee. It's a really good win, credit to them. They beat Minnesota because the Minnesota kicker missed a short field goal at the end of the game. They should have lost that game.
That's a home game too, right?
Yeah, and a guy missed a kick that he probably makes 90% of the time.
Who was the other game? Jacksonville?
They were behind Jacksonville through a significant portion of that game. It's just Jacksonville's terrible.
Sure.
So eventually they were going to give that game back. If the Rams play like they've played and the Cardinals play like they've played, the Rams win this game by
double digits.
Handful of points. Yep. Yeah, it just feels like this entire thing is set up to not just win the game, but for a statement. Because here's the thing we haven't really mentioned, and I get it. We're talking week four. It's super early to mention this. But don't forget, we're in an era, started last season, but this season too, there's only one bye. There's a huge difference between being the number one seed and any of the others. You know, if you are, what is it, I have to redo my math. If you're 13-4 and the number one seed, and you're 12-5 at the number two, before it doesn't really matter, right? We're both taking a day off. Maybe I got to play in your place. Maybe I don't. But to get that extra week off as the number one bye team, this is how you do it. You win your division, first of all, and you have all of these conference tiebreakers. They got the one against Tampa last week. You know, the Bears don't feel like they're going to factor into it, but conference record does. It's a win against the Bears in the conference. These are little bricks in the wall to getting yourself set up to go win a Super Bowl. Play it at home. Play the NFC Championship game at home. Win your division. Give yourself a little more time off. All of these little things add up over the course of 18 weeks. And this is a big one this Sunday, a really big one, even though it is only the fourth game of the season.
Stat of the day is brought to you by Stat Hero, exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives a player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. And if you want to win, just pick Rams players.
Cooper Kupp has cleaned up for me.
You got Stafford this weekend, right?
I do have Stafford this
weekend. Going up against CeeDee Lamb, and who'd you say? Who else?
CeeDee Lamb and was it Russell?
Oh, it
Wilson?
It's Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, and I went with the Falcons, Freeman as my other guy from the Falcons. So we'll see how that shakes out. The other part about this, too, and I know that you and I disagree about this, I really do think that there's an element in Sean McVay's personality, okay, the way that he puts things together. He wants to let people know that, A, I'm really good at this, which I think everybody has signed off on because he's been wildly successful since coming on. But there's this thing that's out there that Bill Belichick turned him inside out in the Super Bowl, that he just turned him inside out. And Sean McVay's even said, you know, I did not do a good job that day. I was not on top of my game. But I think what he does not say out loud, that he kind of hinted at a little bit last season in particular and has hinted at a lot during the early part of this season, is, yes, Bill Belichick beat us. Yes, we lost that game. But I was fighting with a guy that was not up for it, and now I am. I am fighting with a guy that's up for it, and you're starting to see what my offense looks like with a guy that's up for it. I think he's looking for every opportunity for Matt Stafford to go long. I think he's looking for opportunities to pad stats, to win games, obviously. I think he's here to make a statement that goes beyond just, let's win the game on Sunday.
But that's allowing something almost personal to get in the way of the big picture here.
Yeah, but Al, stop right there. That happens all the time.
Okay, but that's everything. But that's not a good thing.
Okay, and I'm not arguing that. Mm-hmm. It's good or bad. It's when real life is what happens. What should happen almost never happens.
But
what does happen is agendas, grudges, hurt feelings.
But this is why I disagree, because I think Sean McVay is smart enough to know that week four against the Arizona Cardinals, you don't have to go out there and win by 24 points. You don't have to. By the way, I agree that I think you're walking away by the time Sunday's all said and done. If the Arizona Cardinals even made this a game, I think it'd be a little surprising. I really would. If the Rams only won 27-24, I'd be a little surprised. Now, if the Rams won 34-21, I'd be a lot less surprised. That seems to me like the Rams are just, it's not just about making a statement. You're just really good. And you got on both sides of the ball, you were saying something about Jalen Ramsey versus DeAndre Hopkins.
Locks him up.
There's
and not just LA and Arizona, but this goes back to Jacksonville and Houston.
So when I hear you try to make the case of Sean McVay, something to prove, it's a personal agenda as well. It's trying to prove how bad Jared Goff was. Hey, this wasn't just me against the New England Patriots. First of all, I think he's smart enough to know that none of that matters right now, because Trav, you and I said this. They could have the greatest regular season in the history of regular seasons. It doesn't mean anything if you don't make noise in the playoffs.
I agree with that last thing, but almost none of the other parts of it. And Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. First of all, intellect, which Sean McVay clearly has, is not separate from ego. They very, very often are right next to each other in a personality, right? That because I'm so smart, I believe that all of these things should go my way. And when they don't go my way, I want to explain to you why they didn't. They're right next to each other. Todd Gurley went from being the most dangerous man in the NFL to not playing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think ego is getting involved in some of this stuff with Sean McVay? You don't think that there's okay. And I'm not saying it cuts both ways. I think that was a two-headed monster between both of those men. I think they both took positions that were really bad for the team, that were the wrong decision in a vacuum like you're talking about. It happened.
You know the worst thing you could do? The worst thing that can happen? And I know what you're saying. Personal agendas just kind of having, I guess you could say, oh, I want to get back at this. I want to prove to everybody. I get all that. That's very common. All those traits are very common. But I genuinely believe McVay is smart enough to know that what he has today is the only thing that he should be worried about. Because looking at what the rearview mirror and the perspective of how Jared Goff is doing, or I got to prove others to let them know that wasn't on me, it was him. It's unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. And to you make it sound like
he's smart enough to know that.
Al, how many smart people have you met that have massive egos?
You can have a massive ego. You can
all of them.
You can have a massive ego, but at the same time, it's in order for you to get what you're trying to accomplish, that's going to get in your way.
Smart people think, I am so smart, I can do both of these things at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to win the Super Bowl, and in the process of winning the Super Bowl, I'm going to prove to you.
Stick it to a couple people along the way.
Yes. That's human nature.
If they beat Arizona 34-17 on Sunday, it has nothing to do with anything other than they're stacked. They're a really good team. They're playing at SoFi.
I don't know about that.
They're the class of the NFC West, at least.
I may come in a number 9 jersey if that happens. I may just come in here. I may wear it all week. I may do nothing but post social media videos all weekend long of me celebrating Matt Stafford's triumphant MVP, impending MVP campaign. All right, we got the dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
I'm feeling better.
Feel a little better?
A little bit. I'm getting there. But I am a little jealous of you.
Okay.
Did you get to go hang out with Jim Hill this weekend? That sounds good. Who wouldn't want to hang out with Jim Hill?
Me and Jimmy. No, I'm just kidding.
What are you doing? Are you just going on his show?
Yeah, so they do the Sports Central, his weekend show, and talk some Lakers. So a little preview of the Lakers season, Lakers-Nets on Sunday. So little bit of that.
I'm very, very jealous. I like talking with Jim. I got to sit with him at a bunch of Rams games over the last couple of years. Always a good conversation. And I guess I'm looking forward to seeing you.
What if about the Lakers when I on went TV on, what if bit when I went on, he just had all his questions were about you? Like, hey, what's it like working with Travis? That's got to be pretty amazing.
Well,
and then I'm confused. I'm like, oh, no, it's good.
Let's talk about Russ.
But really looking forward to this upcoming weekend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Monday when you guys come on, how do you guys prep? What does Travis really do?
I don't think that's likely to happen. Let's go to the dump. Wow. How about this, Al?
What do you got?
46 years ago, Muhammad Ali beat Joe Frazier in the Thrilla in Manila today. That first, I would have gotten this one way wrong. That I was alive during the Thrilla in Manila is a surprise to me. I thought that happened somewhere in the 60s. 1975, one of the greatest fights of all time.
There are, I don't know why, and this is kind of random, but there are certain fights that you just want to go back. And this happens, I told you, one of my favorite movies of all time is Ali, mm-hmm. right? So I like going back and watching, because it's just watching it live, right? And the footage is all grainy of him knocking down George Foreman and just the way he did it. And it's raining, and it's, you know, the environment, how crazy the crowd is going. We have moments like this where it's just kind of every once in a while. This is one of the, you know, greatest sporting events.
Oh, sure. It's one of those moments that even if you weren't alive, you were not, you know it. You know the Thrill in Manila is one of those, just the phrasing. Oh, yeah, it was the Frazier-Ali fight. Mm-hmm. That's just one of those things you know. All right, back to baseball. Dusty Baker is the first manager to win a division title with five different teams. That's extraordinary. Giants, Reds, Cubs, Nats, and now the Houston Astros. Good for Dusty. I remember when Dusty was playing in the outfield for the Dodgers. He was one of my guys. He was one of those guys that was the first team ever to have four teammates that hit 30 home runs in 1 year. He was one of those guys. Invented the high five along with Glenn Burke. Dusty Baker has lived a life, man.
You can pick any team, the Dodgers, face any squad in the World Series. Who do you want to face?
I don't understand. You mean this season?
This season.
I get to pick who I want?
Yep.
I'd like to play the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay. That's why I'm asking you the question. Yeah. They play the Astros.
Uh-huh.
They're not losing to the Astros. They're not.
I don't know, man.
No, I'm
they're good.
I know, but there's something about that. I think there's a lot of guys within that Dodgers organization saying, I want them.
Okay.
Give me another crack at them.
Okay, I hear you, mm-hmm. and I agree with where you're going, but I think you're leaving off the second half of that. You don't think the Astros are saying the same thing? Oh, you think we cheated? Okay, watch this.
Which one do you think is going to be more aggressive?
I think it's a draw.
I don't think it's a draw.
That, look, while I think that they're vile, disgusting cheaters, okay, and I will never, ever change my opinion on that, They
have something to prove. That's what you're trying to.
They feel like, hey, look, we did it, but everyone else was doing it too. Why do we have to wear this like everyone else? You were doing it, and you were doing it, and you were doing it. You think that's the only reason we won? Watch this. I think the emotional component of it is
how
pretty
about that scenario? What if that happened?
That would be pretty awesome. Look, the scenario that you just put out there, the Dodgers are in the World Series, I'm there for it. But if you're asking me who I could play,
I get it. No, I know you want to play the worst team. Yep.
Yeah, Dusty Baker though, that is an amazing accomplishment for him. I don't know what you got going tonight, but maybe you could queue up The Many Saints in Newark. It comes out today on the streaming service.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
How come? Okay, maybe this is me just being negative right now. Why do I have a feeling I'll be underwhelmed by this a little bit?
Okay. So this is
did I hype?
I think the feeling you have is probably because I share it. I agree with you because here's the problem.
Like I'm already disappointed. I haven't even seen it yet.
Right?
Why did that happen?
That's part of it. That the expectation game is it's so high that I know it's not going to live up to the hype. There's mm-hmm. so there's that component of it. Here's the other part. It's a movie. It's 2 hours, give or take. To tell that story in 2 hours is really challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas The Sopranos, 6 seasons, an hour long. I don't know how many episodes a season.
This guy, Funches, was down to watch the whole full 6 seasons again before The Godfather. We're like, hey, would you watch The Godfather? He's like, no, Sopranos is on.
What makes The Sopranos so good is that you've got all these little nuances, right? The meme that Funches showed us here a minute ago, but there was a picture of Trevor Lawrence, and it said, here are his parents, and it's a picture of Carmella and Furio, okay, which, by the way, is incredible because Trevor Lawrence looks like the product of Carmelo and Furio.
So good.
The Carmelo Furio story doesn't make it into a Sopranos movie. It's only because you have 600 hours of television programming to fill that you get all these little things.
So what are my expectations then? What do we walk in tonight if you and I both watch this thing?
Uh-huh.
What's the expectations? How am I addressing this? How am I approaching this?
It's a great question. I don't have an answer. I think you need to go into.
Am I
it like
Bellinger
this.
At the plate? Just
no,
don't expect.
No, it's,
expect what, a buck 50.
Is it hard as it is to do? You know, the only way I think you can treat things like this.
Yeah.
You have to go into it as just like you don't know the story. Is this mm-hmm. a good movie? Am I compelled to see what happens to this person next?
Yeah.
Do I care what happens to this guy?
Okay. Don't tell me what to do.
You asked. I'm just here to help you out. I think that's the only way to do it with something like that.
Yeah.
All right. George Church, a Harvard scientist, says that they could resurrect the woolly mammoth in 4 to 6 years. You ready to go down to the LA Zoo and see a woolly mammoth?
There's a lot of things that we're screwed about, like just things coming in the future that we're all screwed. Okay, I've already shared my Boston Dynamics, who probably one day will become a sponsor, and they'll shut me up because they're like, Al, we have things that we're trying to get accomplished.
If Boston Dynamics wants to spend a little money with us, welcome the robot overlords.
I'm not as concerned about the woolly mammoth. I think the woolly mammoth we can get under control. it's the robots that I have more concerns with.
Just pictured the way you said that. Like there's some woolly mammoth control team that's like around town that their only job is to control the woolly mammoth population.
He listens. No, he listens. The woolly mammoth will be smart enough. He's like a dog. You know, just basically tell him, sit right here, and he sits.
Like you drive down the freeway, you know, if you see an accident, 911. But if it's just a fender bender, you know, move over to the side, 511 for or 9, whatever it is, 811 before you dig. Mm-hmm. You see a woolly mammoth, dial 311.
Just a simple one. That one's no problem.
Just an easy along the way. It is World Smile Day. Which makes me think of Carlo's mask from Media Day. Carlo has a great smile, big, energetic, very warm and welcoming smile. But he had this weird mask that had a plastic piece over his mouth.
It shows
all you could see
mouth.
Was his teeth.
Yeah,
it was very off-putting.
I offered him a mask. I was like, "Yeah, this, Carlo. No,
yeah, just
not today.
Teeth
not Media Day.
Looked like he was snarling at us. Let's not do that on World Smile Day.
And I don't need World Smile Day. Like you tell me to smile. I'll smile when I'm ready to smile.
Yeah, I'll do it when I want.
ESPN app or on iTunes, just search the Travis and Sliwa Show. Get the full 3 hours on the podcast.
Dodgers will be playing on the wild card on Wednesday, or they'll be playing 163, or they'll be division champs. We got Rams football to break down Monday. We all do it at 9:55.
Lakers Nets.
We'll see you then. Lakers Nets.